So in this episode, I'm talking to my buddy Dixon Holtzclaw. We get a little bit of his testimony, how God got him to where he is, including unexpectedly making him the pastor of a church, something I can relate to on a firsthand basis. That's what we're talking about in this episode. Welcome to Burnham Podcast. I'm your host, Danny Burnham. We're here. We've been here.
Yeah, it's been nice.
For an hour, you and I have been talking, waiting on Tango.
You should have heard the last hour. It was amazing.
Man, it was the uncensored version of Burnham Podcast. But we're here with Mr. Dixon Holtzclaw. Good to see you, man.
Absolutely.
We were talking a few minutes ago. It had been forever since I'd actually seen you and had hoped to get you on here for a long time, but you're an international man of mystery flying all over the country and whatnot. But how you been?
Been well. It's just, you know how it is, man. Work, kids, and church, and repeat.
That's it, right? I mean, that's, you know.
Not necessarily in that order.
But. Right. But sort of in that order. We do the Sunday thing guaranteed. But you fly around a lot.
Yeah.
You see the world as a IT guy.
It's a little bit glamorizing, but yeah, we see a little bit. It's a, you know, I travel around messing with software and playing with little robots. I put things on the shelf and then we take them off.
Robots is fun.
It has its moments. Yeah. It sounds cooler than it is. It really is. Really is as boring as put things on the shelf, take them off.
Yeah. But somebody's got to do it.
Absolutely.
You know? And then I'm much more interested, you know, God bless your job or whatever, but in the other thing that you do, and you are the pastor of a church.
Yes.
Same as me.
Absolutely. Blue Pond Baptist. I won't say standard issue because it sounds minimizing.
Yeah.
Kind of like we said earlier, your crowd of 20 is nothing small about it.
It's right.
But it is your standard, your little white church. Been there for 100 years.
Yeah.
I'm a little bit of an oddity in that, you know, I don't have my pawpaw's not buried out there.
Right.
I don't have any sentimental attachment. It's a, I guess, testimony wise, I was actually born and raised Catholic.
Oh, okay.
And so that's a very rare jump to go Catholic to
a little white church,
Southern Baptist preacher. But
well, can we talk about that?
Absolutely.
How does that happen?
I don't think I know through, you know, looking back through it.
Yeah.
Seeking truth.
Mm.
Everywhere I went with the church group, my wife, God bless her, has always been faithful.
Yeah.
Even as a child, a teenager, she was. I did enough wild for both of us. We'll just leave it at that.
Okay.
But if the church was open, she was there.
Right.
So if I wanted to hang out with her, guess where I had to go?
You had to go to church.
And so
good for her.
And there's definitely some credence to that. But
yeah.
I would constantly get the question of, hey, do Catholic people dance with goats or whatever? fill in your blank. There's all kinds of rumor around Catholic church.
Right.
There's also all kinds of nonsense that's reality. But in the interest of truth, it's like, what does the Bible say about this, that, the other?
Yeah.
There's a reason Catholic people don't have Bibles. I don't know if you know that or not.
My audience needs to hear you say it.
You're not going to see a whole bunch of people with their Bible under their arm heading into the Catholic Church.
Yeah.
It's because if you read it, you will leave the Catholic Church.
Wow. You know, I've noticed that. We used to go, Tango, you went, I think, a couple times with us. We used to go on Christmas to Midnight Mass.
Beautiful.
And it was, it's fantastic. It was like, for me as like a lifelong Protestant and I knew better and all this good stuff, it was like going to the theater. And it was really cool. Like, the music was fantastic. Christmas music is Christmas music, even in the Catholic Church.
Yeah.
But yeah, you're right. It was... I didn't notice anybody. That was the first thing I noticed. Was nobody's got their Bible in here. But apparently,
it's a valid point.
The way they want it.
I don't. And I love my family. I love my grandmother. Mm-hmm. Grandparents raised me. No doubt their salvation. No doubt they died heaven,
yeah.
Catholic Church.
Right.
But to an honest appraisal of a Catholic Church with a Bible, you can't stick around.
Yeah.
You can't. Yeah. It's like there, but I say that kind of in jest, but long story short, you know, answering questions about Catholic people,
mm-hmm.
I said, I'm going to show him. The fellow's name was Sammy. I said, I'm going to research. I'm going to have some scripture to throw a good right hook back and a left back. And, you know, and that's kind of where my Bible study started, was to antagonize the preacher at the church where my wife was faithful. Or my girlfriend at the time was faithful. And, you know, just you start seeking truth, you'll find it.
Oh, and that's a tough way to come around, though, like pride swallowing.
I wasn't active in the church at that any church at that time in my life. And, you know, it just, you seek truth, you'll find it. That's the one of those beautiful, lovely, awesome things about God.
Yeah.
As close as you want to get, you're there.
Yeah.
You're there. Yeah. Just as close as far away as you want to get. You can go there too. Right. And it's like, but that's what started it all. And it was weird because I was active, vacation Bible school, Christmas plays. We were there just about every Sunday. I was there with her. She was always there. And lost. Just no other way to describe it. I was going to school at Southern Poly, actually, in Marietta at night. And that was how I got saved was, man, it was so crazy. And I say this often preaching. It is amazing how God does things. But I was in school at night. This young man had wrecked a motorcycle somewhere down there, telling the story about it. He wrecked a truck. Anywho, bad wreck. How did I survive? And I was going to tell him it was God.
Mm.
And I swear it was like the Matrix or something. Like my lips sealed shut. And as sure as I'm sitting here, God said, you're not one of mine.
Ooh.
And it
yeah.
I was, but how silly is it? And that was a long time ago. I don't know how long that was. It's been a minute, 20-ish years.
Yeah.
I was lost in trying to witness to someone. And how silly does that look to God? You know, it's like,
oh, man. But that's a ton of bricks, isn't it?
Yeah. So right there, I was a wreck. It's, yeah. But in a good way, you know, I was like, I can't back to school, you know, but long story short, I was coming back up 75, coming home and crossed the bridge at Allatoona there. And that was where it's like, Lord, I'm yours.
Oh man.
It's like, I guess I'm saved.
you're driving up the interstate.
Yeah, literally driving. I was like, God save me. What I want, I am a sinner. I want to be. I don't want that to happen ever again.
Yeah.
And from then on, been wide open. That's wide open.
Crazy. Yeah, but I mean, I don't know. I've heard many a story where the person realized they needed to be saved, or they realized they were saved. But that's different. Like for your own words to come out and prove, like, and bring you to the understanding that you weren't saved and you had to have this Savior. How, what a moment that must have been.
It was. Still is. Yeah.
Man, we've been laughing and cutting up last hour, and I got you choked up in the first 3 minutes of the episode.
My wife, she gives, doesn't give me a hard time. It's noticeable. You know, I'm a typical man in my day life. I cry more preaching and teaching in this kind of moment than I ever would. And how can it not, man? It's I was such a wreck, such a mess, undeserving.
Yeah.
And actually, I would direct disobedience, if anything, and trying to testify to somebody.
Oh, that's crazy.
It's just the whole, anyhow, that's what got me saved. And what makes it even better is I didn't tell anybody. And so I didn't tell a soul for over a month.
Yeah.
And looking back on it, I'm like, how dumb was that? It's like, I have no doubt in that time period that I was good.
Absolutely.
That salvation was secured. We're moving on.
Yeah.
But if I had died in that gap, I think my family would have mourned for me. You know, on a whole other level.
Yeah.
And it just, long story short, it was a month or so, if not longer later, we had a Thanksgiving on, like, Wednesday night service for Thanksgiving. Everybody was... I want to thank God I can eat, and I want to thank God for cheeseburgers or whatever. And I just said, I just want to thank him. I'm saved. And it blew minds because it was a good moment.
Yeah.
But that just saying it, you know, I didn't have to.
It's not always lightning bolts or whatever, but I guess sometimes it is.
Yeah. I mean, I'd white knuckled enough of my own altar calls and moments I should have moved and I just didn't.
Yeah.
I have my own feelings on the altar call and its place.
You don't want to talk about it.
Oh, yeah.
We don't have one here.
I'll talk about anything. Yeah. I like the moment, meaning that's the way I make it known now. It's like, hey, preaching's over.
Yeah.
We have time. You know, I'm short-winded. Anybody that's ever heard me preach, we're not going to be there for hours. I just, I would love to. I don't know if you have that feeling.
No, I do. I'd love to be able to preach all day long, but I don't have that much to say.
Those cats that can go for hours, man, just God bless them. A little bit jealous.
Yeah.
Some of them. Some of them need to hush, but that's a, other, that's a whole other discussion. But
yeah.
But the that ability to just be used and used, and it just jealous of it. But I'm not blessed with that, and not how I'm supposed to preach, because moved on from it. But it that salvation just so sweet still, man. It's just and then got in the church pretty good, and blinked, became a deacon, blinked again, started teaching Sunday school, then blinked. The next thing you know, you're a deacon now. It's like, I don't know why you're doing that, but fine.
I had kind of the same experience.
I'm the last one you need to be signing up for this.
Right, yeah.
And then blinked again and got called to pastor, and that was one that was never in the card, you know, never in the plan.
Let's talk about that a little bit.
Sure.
Because we've been familiar with each other for quite a while now, and I knew you when you weren't the pastor of a church, and then all of a sudden you were.
Yeah.
So, like, you're at Blue Pond, and the last thing I heard about Blue Pond before you came on as a pastor was that there were seven people or something that were still meeting there, and it was like, well, maybe we should shut it down. And then all of a sudden my buddy Dixon gets hired, and I think, well, that's awesome. I hope that works out.
Yeah.
But what was that process like?
I mean, it was pretty smooth. The fun part about that is I was called to pastor as soon as COVID hit.
Mm. So me too.
So, you know, and on top of that, we had a problem with the floor in the sanctuary. So, so yeah, you're the pastor. Let's rip the floor out of the sanctuary and let's let COVID do its thing.
Yeah,
and
right.
So, you know, and really in the big picture, none of that's anything, whatever.
Right.
We would meet in the fellowship hall and move on. But no, it was very organic, very godly driven. I know I prayed about it more than anybody realizes. It was not an easy decision, but the decision was made the whole time. I knew as soon as Billy was the man, he was their only remaining deacon.
Yeah.
He has since passed, but a wonderful man. Known him just about most of my life.
Yeah.
You know, it's a small world, really. And we talked, another fellow there, Willie Garrett, who's also passed, and they just talked, and I said, man, I'm not fit for this, but I meet all the biblical requirements, and if you really feel like I need to do it, I'll give you my best effort. And it's like the only warning I'm going to give you is the same seriousness. I'm coming into this position, I'm going to leave it. As soon as God says I'm done, I'm going to be a memory.
Oh,
y'all
man.
Just need to know that now. It's like there is going to be no tiptoeing around, thinking, wondering. When God says I'm done, it's a disservice to this group and to not get. And it's been so good. Without its challenges.
What a great way, though, to approach the pulpit every Sunday. I'm here because I'm commanded by God to be here. And when he commands me to go, I'll go.
Yeah, I'm a memory.
Man, that's fantastic.
And we all got to be like that. I mean, it's just I nothing against the folks who've been pastoring somewhere 100 years. Hopefully you've been led that whole time.
Yeah.
But there's a whole lot of church. And I think Blue Pond, actually, the pastor before wanted to leave, tried to leave, and got called back for various reasons. As soon as that man says he's done, we, as the church, have got to say, love you.
Yeah.
Don't let the door hit you.
Yeah, we'll help you pack, whatever.
It's our responsibility to go, God, is this where I'm supposed to be? Yes, cool.
Oh, man, that's tough. Was it Jonathan Edwards that said the best a pastor can hope for is to die and be forgotten? You know what I mean? Like, that's just we're supposed to put Christ up front. And my prayer as I step into the pulpit every single Sunday is, Lord, increase our fear of thee. And I try to have that. And that, man, what a great example you said in that, you know, that's what we're supposed to do. We're called to do.
Yeah.
We don't have a choice but to do. And then when it's over, we also don't have a choice.
Yeah.
That's tough. I'd like to hang on and be the pastor here for 40 years until we get this Coliseum, you know. And,
yeah, even without that, it's just there's a draw to help.
Yeah.
There's a draw. There's lost folks that just need to know the Lord. And
there's
a whole Google of chuckleheads. I'm not calling anybody out directly.
No, but that's the world that we live in.
There's been so much nonsense, especially in the little white churches. I'm just being frank. And And it's like, guys, God's not in that. Come on.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, this is not hard.
Yeah.
And so I think I'm in a vantage point of not growing up in it. I have no sentimental attachment to any of these cemeteries. I love Blue Pond to death.
Yeah.
But I'm not here to love this building. you know, it's like,
you're going to get yourself in trouble.
I will. But it's a place we all need to be.
Yeah.
It's like, is keeping the building clean and nice and straight important? Yeah, it's good.
Yeah.
All that nice and orderly is perfect. But the person that stands behind that book board better be there because that's where God wants him to be.
Yeah.
Or we need to not show up.
I mean, you talk about a building and falling in love with a building and not being attached to the things that we point to and go, that's the church. I remember living in Cartersville in 2011. A string of tornadoes comes through and wrecked Adairsville, the north half of Bartow County. And a little place called Church of the Covenant got wiped off the mat. No stones left unturned, right? So then they look at that and they go, well, our church building is gone. What do we do? What would you do if Blue Pond was gone tomorrow? Or if, you know, First Baptist Woodstock was gone tomorrow? Like, where would you go? Would you still have faith? Well, those folks found a spot to meet. They met in a middle school lunchroom, you know, and then they met at one or two other places. Now they've got a fantastic building outside of town, but like, where is your faith? Is it in God, or is it in this building with a sign out front with the pastor? Do you have your name on the front of the sign?
Oh, yeah. That was not my design.
No,
but whatever.
Most of the time it's not. But those are the things, though, that we get wrapped up in as opposed to our faith. Is our faith this building, or is it God? Yeah.
And it almost sounds lazy, I guess. But I avoid a lot of the arguments that we have as studious folks in the Word because they're not kingdom issues or kingdom building. Yeah. And we can argue about it or talk about it or discuss it. I got my buttons. I'm sure you have yours.
And
it ultimately, it's good to have that discussion, but so often it turns into something else. And and that sentimental attachment, you know, they're fussing over lights or
the color of the carpet is always the deal, right?
Oh, yeah. I was amazed. We put carpet and recovered benches without anybody fussing.
Hey, kudos to the people of Blue Pond Baptist Church. That's fantastic.
And you know, we're bad about having self-conscious, but we go, that little church.
Like,
you said it a couple of times. I've said it. There's nothing little about these churches. This is biblical.
Yeah.
They met in their houses.
Yeah.
Like 20 or less was the meetings Jesus was having, way more than hundreds and thousands.
Yeah.
I think there's a diminished return when you start seeing 1,000 people in attendance. Well,
you're the pastor of a church that I don't know how many people you guys got on a Sunday morning.
We're probably 20 to 50. Yeah. It varies wildly.
And you know all of their names.
Most of them. I'm terrible with names.
I'm bad with names too. But I mean, like here I know like the people in my church. I know their kids' middle names, their birthday, you know, but this small group, I'm able to keep up with that. So we get 1,000 people in the church. God, I can't know all the, I can't know 300 people, maybe 200 people. Like, oh, what's this guy's name? He comes to church here all the time. Like, is that really kingdom building?
Yeah.
Maybe he's getting something out of my preaching, but I can't disciple that guy because there aren't enough hours in the day.
Yeah. But I would like to have more, don't get me wrong.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Somewhere around that 50 to 75, I think, is a sweet spot.
But
we want to have more because we really feel like we've got a biblical foundation, a spiritual lead, and folks really can be saved if they want to be saved, so we want more. But I don't know where that hit me hard a while back. It's like there's nothing small about what we're doing.
Mm.
It's like if you're just one-on-one, that's big things to the right person with God leading it. But
oh, man, you know, I think about that, like having started this church 3 years ago, and I remember looking back. Now I can look at Sundays during flu season, and I'm standing there preaching to two or three people.
Your wife and your kids.
Yeah, right? So there was a Sunday when it was my family. That was it. But this family was traveling, and that one had the flu, you know, but it's like that. But there's nothing small about that, man, and this is a great reminder for me because I try to have that mindset just based on where we are. And there's no use having, you know, we're in this tiny room where our church meets and I can't convince myself that it's a cathedral or that I deserve one.
Yeah.
But I need to understand that this is nothing big. Small about it. That's good stuff. I'm glad you came in tonight, man.
I'm glad I did too.
Yeah, we should wrap it up right there before we ruin it.
You got 30 more minutes.
No, we're good.
As you can tell, I like to have fun. I used to preface it as like, don't let the jovial nature take away from the seriousness of this.
Right.
But we ought to be able to cut up. We ought to be able to have fun.
Absolutely.
And frankly, it ought to be more Sundays than not that it is fun.
Yeah.
And if it's not fun, there's a problem.
Well, that's what we run into as the Reform crowd so often. They call us the Frozen Chosen, you know? Like, you guys can smile. Like, we're here to worship the living Savior. Like, okay, all right, let's smile a little bit and have fun. Yeah. But
yeah, and I don't want to take away from the hooting and hollering and chair jumping and pew running and all that.
Right.
When it truly is spiritual and it truly is someone that truly is just overwhelmed, it's beautiful.
Mm.
When it's anything else, it is as off-putting and makes me want to just literally get up and leave.
Yeah.
It's like you can tell, you know, a lot of revivals, a lot of little white church folk, and it's good. I love it when everybody gets to shouting, but there's been a few where it's like, come on, man.
Yeah, hey, everybody, look at me.
And it just I hate to even say that because you feel like you're taken away from, but
yeah, but there is a genuine aspect to it, and then there's a, like, look how holy I am, you know.
Yeah, I would love to have more people willing to pipe in, you know, more people that are just overwhelmed and wanting to do whatever it is. Don't ever want to put on a show,
right?
But no one will discourage
chaos
that
in your service or whatever. But yeah, it's some celebration, man. Just,
you get people a little excited. Yeah, it's exciting.
Yeah. Well, maybe you'll have to preach more than 9 minutes to get them good and fired up.
Wound up.
It's part of it, man. But it's, you know, the gospel. You can preach it in 2 minutes, or you can preach it in 2 hours, and you know, obviously there's different levels of how thorough we're going to be, but.
I know a couple of people that can go like hour.
Yeah.
And it's amazing, the whole hour. Yeah. And I know a bunch of people that can go an hour.
Yeah. It's like, well, that's what I look down every now and then, and I'm like, oh, I've been talking for 40 minutes. I got time to wrap this up before I, you know, talk myself back into a circle again. But.
Well, love the truth seeking from my standpoint. Mm-hmm. That's a lot of my driver.
Yeah.
Studying and teaching Sundays. Usually that's where I can go. We can go days in Sunday school, and then the kids start coming out of the back, and you're like, oh, I got to wrap this up.
Yeah.
It's like, but that's been a balancing act for me lately because I still teach Sunday school. It's like, do I do a really good job teaching Sunday school, or do I really good job preaching, or do I not do anything but prepare for these two?
Right.
And people don't realize what goes into a 9-minute sermon.
Oh, man.
It's like, there's a, I want to say there was a study somewhere that said every minute you stand is an hour of prep.
That's fair.
And I think it's about right.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so.
Maybe calling myself out with my 9-minute sermon.
Yeah, but I mean, the last thing you want to do is stretch a sermon for the sake of stretching a sermon and preach some other gospel, you know, whether you mean to or not. You get into some territory that you're not familiar with, and then you've said something that doesn't line up with Scripture, and now you're in trouble.
Yeah.
Like, and forget the people in the pew. Like, that's not who you got to worry about.
But. You're in trouble with Papa.
Yeah, it's a big deal. But, man, you guys, I mean, you're out there getting after it, and your church is still around. When somebody told me that church is about to close, like, I remember somebody, I forget who it was, said those words.
It was really thin when we went in.
Yeah.
It was, they had a lot of various problems, you know, just how it life plays out, and pastor change and this and that and the other, and, you know, the people there are lovely, amazing, still there. You know, that core group is still the ones that are still alive or still there. Their families are there, and it's we're at a really good spot right now because I'm seeing the same folks. I'm seeing one or two new folks.
Yeah,
and those there's nothing against the folks that are there every Sunday, but that fresh face coming in.
Oh, that's not. it really is. Yeah.
We had one come back for a second week this past Sunday, and I had a really good interaction with him, just talking and cutting up, and I was like, man, it'd be nice if he come back and bring somebody else, and there's something about more people. It's easier to preach. Yeah. Well, you know that firsthand.
Yeah, I would rather preach to 10,000 people than to 10.
Yeah, we can go to the forum, fill it out, and speak all day.
Yeah,
that's easy. Yeah. To two or three.
That's tough when you can make eye contact with everybody in the room. Yeah,
but no, it's good. It is a labor of love. There is work involved, but there's nothing else we can do.
So, were you at Blue Pond when they called you, or were you at some other church?
I was at Dry Creek in Adairsville.
Okay.
Yeah, that's where got saved, got baptized, started preaching.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of a funny one on that, where we had a pastor come in, a fella named Stacy Nicholson. Love him to death.
Mm-hmm.
He preached to me the first six or seven or eight. Oh, it was every Sunday. I am convinced as I'm sitting here, if he showed up and I showed up, he would have preached the same thing for over a month. Yeah. I don't know. It might have been 2 months.
Yeah.
And that last Sunday, he preached a message, and basically he's like, what are you going to do now? He just kept saying it.
Mm.
What are you going to do now? My wife didn't even know I was dealing with. I knew I was going to be called to preach.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I knew I was running just as hard. Felt about lost. You know, I was like, I'm as not where I'm supposed to be as I could be right now.
Yeah.
But I'm also not fit to be a preacher. You know, I'm not just not.
Yeah.
You know, right, an right. honest appraisal of me as a human. Why, God?
Mm.
You know, it's like there's so many better options. And that last message, I just stood up and said, I've been called to preach. I don't know what else to do but preach, I guess.
That's it. That's all you can do, man.
My wife was sitting where she always did, and her jaw about dropped, because that was the first time she even knew she even knew I was dealing with that.
Yeah.
And it's been good. I loved the period of time where it was, hey, come here,
mm-hmm.
hey, come here, hey, come here.
Yeah.
And we just bounced around. Fella could do that his whole life and have
That's
a great.
That's fun. I got to do that for a little while, and you can go in. I got called into a church one time, and they were like, "Hey, can you preach on this? Because this guy really needs to hear it." And like, they basically wanted me to come in and scold this guy for the way that he'd been acting. You know, so like, if you're the one time preacher, you can come in and say whatever you want. You know, and
run away.
Yeah, you're done. Never have to see these people again. But I was like, I don't know if that's why I ought to preach that, but let me pray about it.
Yeah.
You know, but. But that is a lot of fun to be able to go around and preach to different congregations. And
bunch of funerals, you know that drill. And
yeah.
Had a couple of those where people will write you up a sermon. I was like, I appreciate the notes, but I'm not allowed to just read this.
Right.
It's like, thank you for helping, but it'll be all right. It'll all work out.
Yeah.
And I'll take this into account, but I can't just stand up and read this. And I'm not old fuddy-duddy, and you got to have this or not that or no notes. You know, people lose their minds over every little.
Right.
Just mind the Lord, and if you got a note, it better be from God.
You know, and, it was – I'm finding that more than recently that the fewer notes I try to use, the better the sermon is.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and, of course, you still got to study and prepare and all that good stuff, but, like, I try to write out a whole bunch of notes, all these points and references and all these different things. And I stumble over the notes, which means I'm putting myself out front. And when I get rid of the notes and so many points and all this stuff, and I can just regurgitate what I have studied and learned, let the Holy Spirit work back through
thing.
Me. Yeah, it's so much better.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
With my travels, it's a blessing.
Yeah.
I have a lot of downtime, airplanes, airports, excuse me, and all that. And so a lot of times by Friday flying home, I'll have 30 pages of notes.
Yeah,
I mean, it scribbles. It's awful.
Right.
But it's on the laptop, and I'll get to, like, what was that? You know,
what
I'm
that
able,
even mean?
It's like, there's no, this is useless. In a lot of times, granted, it's just what I've come to do during the song portion of, you know, a typical service.
Mm-hmm.
I pray a lot during that, and that's my Lord. And where are we going? It's like I got somewhere I'd like to go, if that's all right.
Yeah, right.
and it's amazing to me how real and active the Spirit is when you just pause a minute and let it and try to get out of the way actively. It's like, all right. And then next thing I know, I'll be flipping over and all right, I guess we're here today. You know, it's like, but there's also the alternate of that studying, you know, where it's just pages, blank pages until you get to where you're supposed to be. Or at least that's my experience. It feels like, it's like, why am I even? You know, you end up just, and you learn to study to be studying, not study to preach, and then the message comes.
Yeah, it takes care of itself, right? It's otherwise, you're in there on Wednesday in your office, and you're trying to study, and you go, man, I'm about ready to quit this job.
Yeah.
I can find somebody else to do this. This is hard, you know?
Yeah, that's been a turning point for me, is I'm not studying for a message. I'm studying to find myself approved, and I'm studying to study to apply it to myself, and then the message just comes.
I always tell people I'm preaching to myself first
before I preach
to any of y'all. You know?
Most of the time.
Yeah. I need to know this. I need to hear it.
But no, it's good, and that's just seeking truth, man. That's what we all got to do. And it, God's good.
God is good, man. and we're both proof of that. And you told a cool story here tonight. So what's the future of Blue Pond look like? I mean, we're hoping for growth.
I hope to just carry on. You know, it's been there 100 years or longer. There's graves in there from the 1800s.
Wow.
In that graveyard behind it.
Yeah.
I would like to see not a modernization, but a preparation to grow. Meaning, the single pastor is not a formula for growth. You need help.
Yeah.
I need help.
Yeah.
I need to know who may be next. Mm-hmm. You know, and so that's, if I had the next iteration of Blue Pond, it would be a senior pastor, a youth level associate, or a junior pastor. I don't know what you want to use.
Yeah.
Somebody that's in there now, ready to take over.
An apprentice of sorts.
Yeah. And that's very hard to find. It's very hard to find someone that's led to do it, that will do it, that can do it. But if I had a wish list, it would be, you know, somebody show up that feels like that's where they're supposed to be.
Yeah.
Because the ultimate goal is for them to not need us.
Right.
So the ultimate – and I'm not saying they're sitting there waiting on where's Dixon. But that's not that. But if we just tapped out now, there's, you know, who's the next preacher?
Right.
Who's the next whatever? And
let me shoot this idea at you then, and we'll just do it here in the air. I was going to talk to you afterwards
go for it.
Some other time, but we'll just run it right here, and then anybody watching or listening can chip in the comments.
Open books.
We're not seminary guys.
No.
You know, I've got a degree from a Bible college, right? And there are untold scores of preachers around here who are not seminary guys. They're not like formally trained and all this good stuff. We've had to learn in church how to preach and listen to other people. But we don't get the opportunity to preach until it's time to preach. Like, you going to preach this Sunday for the first time ever, get up in front of the church? And like, I remember the time that happened to me. I'm like, holy smokes.
Daunting.
How do I even do it? You know, and I've been listening to preaching my whole life, and I feel like I don't know what to do. What if we created an opportunity for people to preach before they have to get up in front of the church to do it? And this idea comes from, I'm a big fan of stand-up comedy, right?
Gotcha.
And stay with me on this. We're going to get around, I promise. But the stand-up comedian gets to go to open mic night, and he stands up there with his notepad and recites the jokes that he's written down, and they either work or they don't. If they don't, he crosses them off and does something different. But what if we put together in this room, maybe at your church or some other place, a place where guys could come and practice preaching, and they could sit, and a guy like me or you or maybe my buddy Adam Colston or Jared Roberts or one of these guys can come and sit, and they can stand up and preach for 10 or 15 minutes, and then or 5 minutes, whatever they've got, and then we can say, hey, I would have done this or not that or, you know, whatever, and create that same open mic night type atmosphere.
That's amazing.
I mean, you think that would work?
It would have a place as long as there's folks that are willing. I mean, and I think there is, because I know for me as a young preacher, I mean, it's still not comfortable.
Yeah.
But I'm comfortable-er.
Right.
And the thought of doing that prior to just full-on doing it is daunting.
Yeah.
And it would be, God, that would be a feast for the ones in attendance.
Yeah.
I don't know if where you draw the line on attendance or whatever, or if you have to, or because I think that's in classic terms, that's what the Preacher's Jubilee was originally intended to be.
Yeah.
Was, hey, we got all these young cats.
Let's bring them up.
Let's just get all the preachers together and let them rip.
Yeah.
And, you know, that it has a place.
Right.
And so let's get a little white churchy with it, with
a little
the
bit,
Preacher's
yeah.
Jubilee. But that's how that originated.
That's what it is.
And that's what it needs to go back to is these young guys need some time back there.
Mm. The Preacher's Jubilee. That's just what we'll call it.
It has a purpose and it would be good for all involved. And I would not have a problem opening us up. We're trying to figure out night services again.
Yeah.
Because that's been a challenge.
Yeah.
We have a lot of older folks, and I think we could support it. I'm encouraged because a lot of churches I'm kind of sistered with are starting back, like second Sunday or fourth Sunday.
Right.
And so I'm really close to saying first Sunday we're going to start doing stuff at night.
Yeah.
and that would be as good a thing as any. And, I mean, it wouldn't be like thousands in attendance,
right,
unless something miraculous happened.
Maybe you draw more at night than you do on Sunday morning. But
I don't know. That's an interesting thought and something I would be on board with because it has a place.
Yeah.
And it's just me being, I guess, a little more analytical from my software side. I'm like, if I get abducted by aliens, what happens?
Yeah.
If I get, you know, I had a scare a few years ago where I thought I had a heart attack, like take a knee in the parking lot. I can't breathe.
Oh, wow.
He's like, and your wife took me to the ER and come to find out it was my esophagus.
Oh, yeah.
But that wasn't before caths and all, you know, my heart's pretty good. They've looked at it inside and out, but that little scare was horrible, you know, because I was in the hospital a few days thinking, all right, they're going to cut me open, but no heart attack. But, but the realization of what happens if I'm not there.
Mm.
We do have some good folks. We got a gentleman there that's, well, he grew up in the church and left to be a pastor at another church for 20 or more years and then retired from that church and came back, you know, and he preaches often. He's my go-to, but, I don't know, you know, I don't know with his age or if his interest is there to pastor again.
Right.
But I would love to see more younger, not even younger. Yeah. I'm even good to go in to say a senior pastor, if you will, spirit led and in the, you know, shows up. You're the pastor now. I'll be the junior. You know, I'm good with the.
Well, we can't have any ego in this.
No.
You know, it can't be about, you know, now you got to take my name off the sign out front. No. That hurts my feelings. No. Well, it ain't about us, man.
That sign, that reverend, I was like, I understand the sentiment, but it.
Oh, man.
But it doesn't.
Please don't call me reverend.
It's like it doesn't
Nobody
apply.
Call me reverend.
And I'm not saying I'm about, you know, running the roads or doing it, but. Just the natural sin that exists is real in all of us.
Yeah.
And the honest appraisal of it said, I'm not worthy to do any of this.
Mm.
It's just, I'm not.
Yeah.
If you want to use me, go for it. And I'll be willing. Yeah. And that's all he's asking for. It's like, you know, and we complicate things and maybe doing all this is complicating, but the gospel as it is, the Bible as it is simple. It's straightforward. Mm. You know, I love you. I made this for you.
Yeah.
I made a way for you to come back to me, you know. Mm. And I maybe oversimplify too much. I don't know.
I mean, you know, if you had 2 minutes to preach the gospel to somebody, what would you say?
Yeah.
You know, so you can oversimplify it. And we've got time to sit and do a podcast and things like that. But, like, sometimes you get to and you're in an airport.
Well,
and you start a conversation and you got 5 minutes and you got to catch your flight. What do you say?
Well, I'm kind of versed in that a little bit because Mormons are doing an amazing job of being in every airport in the whole country.
Yeah.
And I'm not casting any shadow on them, but my canned response, they'll hit you.
Yeah.
And I was like, ma'am, she was a lady. It's like, ma'am, you have been horribly deceived.
Ooh.
God loves you.
Yeah.
I love you too much to argue about it right now.
Mm.
It's like, but you need to get in the Word. You need to get a Bible that's not provided by the organization you are supporting.
Yeah.
I don't care the version.
Yeah.
Any Bible that they didn't publish.
Right.
And you need to seek your own truth.
Mm.
And that's my can. It's like I love you too much to argue right now. But they have been horribly deceived.
Yeah.
And they have a zeal that is admirable. That we need.
Man, say what you want about those guys. They are on mission, and they are winning converts.
They are actively involved in spreading heresy.
Yeah.
And they're doing a fantastic job of
it. They're great at it. They really are. Yeah.
And that's what I tell those ladies. I was like, I love you, but you've been horribly deceived.
Oh, man.
Go to Amazon and buy you a Bible.
Any Bible, yeah.
It's like, I have my preferences, but we're not even going to go there. Any Bible other than the ones that the Mormon prints.
Oh, man.
And start there.
You know what, though? They don't really come out where we live now. But I used to live in a subdivision. We'd see them periodically. And I would always take whatever they had to offer. So they wouldn't give it to – they would have one less to give to somebody. I think I mentioned that on the show before. But, yeah, man, I'll take what you got, and you know, it's gone.
You don't need a big map. It's not hard.
Yeah.
It's like it's kind of – we had a long study in Revelation, and that always gets folks excited. And I had purposely avoided Revelation, like teaching it
publicly. Most pastors do.
For a long time. And I said, I'm summing up the whole book of Revelation of, hey, guys, it's bad. It's going to get worse. But I am victorious.
Yeah.
It's like, and move on.
Yeah.
It's like God just wanted us to, hey, I know it's bad, but yeah. Guess what? It's going to get way, way worse.
It gets way worse.
And it's like, but I am victorious. And it's like, just cling to it. But yeah, people spend their whole lives doing this exact thing, arguing over what's in that one book. And it's like, that doesn't grow the kingdom. That doesn't, that doesn't further us, get us any closer to truth. That doesn't get a lost soul not headed to hell.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's old fashioned, but it's simple. And that's the way God wants it is, please don't go to hell.
Yeah,
right. I don't know what else to
put it at the most know? Molecular. You know, like, let's not go to hell.
Yeah.
And here's why.
I kind of paid a heavy price for you to not do this. So let's come along. But, you know, and a good, healthy discussion is needful.
Yeah.
Because truth has been varied so much. And you'll come to whatever truth God reveals to you. But I think when we get to that point and get honest with ourselves, our truths are going to line up because there's only one.
Yeah.
And, you know, whether you sing out of the old red back or you sing psalms, whatever, sing them to the Lord and move on.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like,
And it's great. You know, like you said, those conversations are important and there's a lot to be learned and all that good stuff. And then there are times when you don't have that and you wish you did. But, yeah, man, we get caught up so many times arguing about one thing or another that really it's important and we should get to the heart of it. But as far as just having an argument about it, especially on Facebook or Twitter or something, like it's not worth wasting the time or effort over.
Anything other than in person.
Yeah.
I hadn't had a good one in a while, but, you know, I was a young deacon and we needed a pastor. And those backroom meetings get ugly.
Oh, man.
And it's like that's a side that people don't see.
Yeah.
But, you know, you're in that meeting. It's like, this guy's been doing this for 100 years. This guy's been doing it for 150.
Yeah.
Y'all are not going to change each other's mind over anything y'all are arguing about. It's like, ask the question. He answered the question. Let's move on.
Yeah.
It
got an impasse.
It's like, he does not believe the way the church covenant or whatever's written. So next, you know, this isn't hard. But I think we have this desire to just spread our version of right.
Yeah.
And if we just get to the truth, it's going to be the same.
We want to win, right? We want to be able to win. We want to be right. Like, well, let's just, what's the Bible say? Like, why don't we just go there?
It's a fantastic place to start.
That should be our baseline. Like, let's work up from that.
But
that's one of the criteria I have for picking a guest on the podcast. I don't want to have a debate, like argue about stuff or whatever. Like,
you picked the wrong one today.
Yeah, I know, right? Let's duke it out.
Fight in the parking lot.
But there are so many other avenues where you can just yell at each other about whatever.
Well, there's a place for discussion, and there is a place for debate, and there's a need for it in the right, carried out in the right manner.
Right.
Because there is still a lot of division. Even little white churches disagree.
Yeah.
I'm sure if we got down brass tacks,
we could find some
covenant or whatever y'all have. I guess you have a covenant of some kind. Yeah. Listen, that articles of faith or whatever you want to call it. There might be variants there. There might not. We might be surprised how similar they are.
Maybe. Yeah.
But if it's not in the Bible, then one of us is wrong.
Yeah.
we both need to reevaluate the situation. And, you know, if it's in there, then that's what we need to do. It's not hard. But
yeah,
I've been very fortunate to have a ton of friends, close friends that think in all, you know, from completely no thank you God to the other end of the spectrum of – you know, claiming to be Nazarites and stuff. And
oh man,
it's an interesting mix.
Yeah.
And, you know, and I guess it's kind of like, I am a little old school in a lot of my ways, but I like to think from a newer perspective, or not a newer, but a truth based perspective, we ought to be able to talk about those things and go, all right, we don't agree.
Yeah.
This is what the Bible says. We still don't agree.
Yeah.
Cool. This is what I'm going to, you know, move on with. But.
Yeah, I've got some very good friends that we have had to agree to disagree with things on.
Yeah.
And you and I both believed this for 30 years, but we're on the opposite ends, and we just can't for whatever. Maybe one day we will. We'll see eye to eye on it. But
it gets a whole other can of worms. We don't have time to start this one.
Oh,
when you start talking politics, my political views tend to be off-putting to a lot of people.
Well, that's because you're right, Nixon.
So I don't even know why I brought it up, but and it's not a left or a right thing. It's just I'm as sick as anyone is over lesser of evil.
Yeah,
and really, this is the best we have to offer.
Oh man, 300 million people. We got these guys.
Regardless of your views on any of them, I was like, an honest appraisal of who we're electing It's like, this is the best we can come up with. It's like, come on, America. We got to do a little bit better.
Man.
There's got to be some other option.
So let's see. We're having, this is 24. So 28 is our next election year. Dixon Holzclaw, the Holzclaw ticket in 28. Who's your vice president?
I don't know about vice presidents, but we'll get on board. We'll just start with abolish the IRS, abolish the ATF, abolish the...
thanks for getting us booted off of YouTube.
But it's funny because I actually have a shirt I found the other day cleaning the closet out because I was a teenager. I had to do an informative speech. I was probably 19, maybe 20, and it was a fair tax bill. This was like 99, maybe.
Yeah.
So abolish the IRS, you know, fight domestic terrorism.
Oh, man.
I think that's something we all could agree on, but we can't. Yeah. It's like, anyhow, we are getting into politics.
But it's, you know, we do that here sometimes.
But no, we're not going to get left-right politics. We're going to get, should the IRS exist or not? No.
No, I think everybody can agree that that's like, unnecessary. Yeah.
But we get an opportunity to vote for something like H.R. 57 or any of the fair tax bills. And we go, no, we can't, whatever. Fill in your blank for your reason not to vote for it.
Right.
And it's like it fixes so much just to get rid of those cats and let us spend our money where we want to spend it and move on. But anyway, I'm gonna have to just
hush. It is, man. We're having a good time. It's all good. Most of the people, I think, at this stage that are listening are okay with this.
Okay, they've hung around?
Yeah. All right. I don't have people, like, a lot. Every now and then somebody will pop up and vehemently disagree about one thing or another. But for the most part, as you know, everybody's pretty laid back here. And we try not to be, I don't know, we don't try not to be adversarial. Sometimes we are. We buried a Pope three times in one episode weeks back. But
That's when your guest is supposed to pipe in. Well, all right, so how's your feeling on millennial views? Or,
oh, man.
Or let's talk about once saved, always saved.
Yeah. Well, that's the only real pushback I ever got was like, mentioning Calvinism in an episode, and then some dude lit me up with like 83 memes and gifs in the comments of the one post, and I was like, bro, are you like, I didn't even engage with the dude, and he's never said anything else. But I was like, man, if I thought for one minute that he was willing to have like a good faith conversation.
No, he's just going to meme and troll.
Yeah, I was like, I'm out.
And accomplish nothing.
Yeah. But I wasn't going to get in there. They say, what is it? My buddy Jacob Travis says, what is it? You don't wrestle with pig because you both get dirty and the pig likes it.
I like it.
Yeah.
I like him too. I ain't seen him in forever.
Travis DeGrasse. I bumped into him the other night at the gas station. He's a good old dude.
Yeah, I graduated with him. We go
back.
Oh,
yeah. I guess you guys are the same age, aren't you? So this is two out of the last three episodes the Travis family has gotten a shout out.
Yeah.
So I had Andrew Dimon on.
I'm sure.
Two episodes back. You know Andrew, I guess.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It's hard to not.
Oh, man.
Either of those to not know.
Yeah.
And love them as well.
Fantastic folks all around.
No, I ain't talked. I see Jacob when son goes to Big Blue. That's about the only time our paths cross is dropping off pain and high five Jacob and run away.
Yeah.
But no, good folks. I kind of went sideways with the last bit of it. I don't know. But
it's fine. It's all good. Bro, this is...
I'm a guilty squirrel chaser.
It is okay. Man, that is the... That's far from the craziest thing anybody's ever talked about on this show. So, you know, you can go back and dig up old episodes. We get into all kind of wild stuff. But Tango laughs because he knows.
Because they're turning the freaking drums game.
So here comes his Alex Jones. It's been a few episodes since you rolled out Alex Jones.
I don't even have a mic today.
I'm trying to get Alex Jones on. And I'm this close. We've just got to work out the scheduling. And you guys are all going to be disappointed. But there's a guy that lives around here. His name's Alex Jones. I want him on the pod. Alex, I think you listen to the show. Give me a holler. Let me know. It doesn't have to be a Monday night. We can work it out. But the people need Alex Jones on Burning Podcast. I messaged these guys not long ago. And I was like, hey, Alex Jones is coming on. And they were like, no way. And I was like, yeah, no way. But yeah, we get in the weeds a little bit every now and then. But it's all in good fun.
This is kind of the place for that, though.
It really is. I can't do it up there, you know. No, but
this is kind of the place to say, all right, let's beat this horse and see what happens.
Well, so I always say, if you don't like it, you can start your own podcast. Like, it's easy. I do it, you know. Like, we're sitting here doing it right now. But it's fun, and we get into all kinds of stuff. But we got the Dixon Holzclaw on tonight.
This has been fun. We'll have to try again sometime. I enjoy talking.
Yeah. It's been cool. Where are we at on time, Tango?
Got 4.5 minutes.
50 minutes.
50 minutes. We were right on that money mark that we were looking for. But that sounds like about as good a place as any to jump off.
Yep. Love Amen. Folks, love God, and seek truth.
Amen. Thank you for coming on.
Pleasure's mine, brother.
Yes, sir. God bless you guys. We love you. See you next time.
Podcast. Oh, the Burnham Podcast.
That's on the front end. I say it on the front end. Yeah.
Burnham Podcast. Signing
welcome
out.
Welcome to Burnham Podcast. I'm your host, Danny Burnham.